So, I don't really know what a ragamuffin is. But yesterday, my family and I joined dozens of other kids and parents to march in a ragamuffin Halloween parade through residential Emerson. I did not get my act together this year to throw together a costume, but my two kids did, as you saw. They went as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And they weren't the only Ninja Turtles at the parade. In fact, there were several Leonardos and Raphaels of all ages. Each kid stood tall in their green turtle outfits, with thick foam padding for muscles, and stuffed toys serving as swords and scythes. Now, I get a little nostalgic being around little kids in turtle costumes because I was about their age when Ninja Turtles first came out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles first appeared as a comic book before becoming an animated cartoon on TV. I remember waking up early on Saturday mornings, sneaking downstairs and turning on the TV so I could see how Donatello, Leonardo, Raphael, and Michelangelo, these turtle superheroes, would defeat the evil Shredder and his army of minions in the sewers and subways of New York City. I also spent hours and hours playing the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle video games. I pumped enough quarters into arcade games to possibly fund my future seminary education, and I lost track of the days I spent glued to my TV screen, trying to beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1, 2, and 3 on my Nintendo. And since I usually lost the game more often than I won, I spent a lot of time staring at one kind of screen. When I lost, the screen would go black, and I would have 10 seconds to answer the one-word question that appeared. The screen would ask me if I would like to continue playing the game. If I said yes, it would cost me a quarter and I could restart at the last place the game was saved. But if I said no, I'd walk away. The game, for me, would be over. That one-word question that just asked continue. It's an invitation to keep going. It's an invitation to keep striving. It's an invitation to stay in relationship with this video game story as it unfolds. And that question, that invitation, that being in relationship, that, I think, is at the core of what the Gospel of John is saying today. Now, in today's story, Jesus is doing something strange. He's talking to a group of people who used to follow him. When we imagine Jesus' ministry, we usually see Jesus bringing his teaching and healings into new places. The towns and villages he visits might be places he or his disciples knew, but when Jesus is being Jesus, when we see him preach and teach and heal like he does in the Gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we imagine Jesus walking into a new place and doing a brand new thing. But today, Jesus is talking to people he already knows. He's already been to their towns, visited their homes, and shared a meal with them around the table. Jesus has already been Jesus to these people, and for a short time, they embraced him. They followed him. They were disciples and apostles and faithful to everything that Jesus said and did. But then that changed. These followers of Jesus stopped following. The text doesn't tell us exactly why their belief in Jesus was so short-lived. We don't know if something happened to them, or if someone said something, or if life just got too busy, and Jesus was no longer a part of it. All we know is that these people believed. They chose Jesus. They had faith that Jesus was the Son of God who would fix the world. And then that changed. Their faith in Jesus went to black. That one word question flashed before their eyes. And they didn't put another quarter into the machine. They didn't hit that start button. These former followers of Jesus let the next screen in their faith journey come up. Because when it came to Jesus, they simply said, "Game over." And that should be it, right? These former followers of Jesus experience something that we ourselves don't necessarily get. They saw Jesus in person. They know exactly how tall he is, what kind of sandal he prefers to wear, and what the color of his eyes really are. And when Jesus healed others, they saw his hands, his physical hands, doing the work. And when they heard him speak, they heard the richness of his voice in the Aramaic language his mother and father first taught him. These former followers experienced Jesus in tangible and physical ways. And yet their faith did not remain. They had an opportunity to continue to be with Jesus, but they didn't take it. These former followers turned away from Jesus, and we assume, we expect, based on our own experiences in this world, that those who choose the other side, those who choose their game over, we expect them to just fall away. We assume they're no longer part of the story. We know these former followers no longer believe in Jesus. But Jesus talks to them anyways. Jesus keeps speaking. Jesus keeps teaching. He keeps reaching out, showing these former followers and us that faith is more than just having an answer to a question or thinking that something must be true. Faith is a relationship. Faith develops, grows, and matters over the long haul. And when our faith feels low, when our belief is no longer there, and even when we let that game over sign show up, Jesus does the unexpected thing and comes anyways. Jesus keeps sharing that we are worth God's attention, God's focus, and God's love. God wants a relationship with us, and will keep gifting us that relationship even if we walk away. And that, I think, is why we are celebrating the Reformation today. Reformation Sunday isn't only a day to eat treats or decorate pumpkins or take a selfie with the church doors in the back, all things you can do after service. It's also a day when we celebrate that one of the gifts of this Reformation is the gift of seeing, of knowing, and of experiencing the unexpected God. We don't expect God to keep coming to us when we turn from God, but in Jesus, that's exactly what God does. That's exactly who God is. God keeps coming to us even when we no longer know or even care if we are with God. God keeps building a relationship with us, transforming us through God's promise of grace, hope, and peace. God isn't just forming us into who we are called to be. God is also reforming us each and every day, opening us up to just what God's love might look like. Now, this process isn't always pretty, and it's not always easy. And this doesn't mean we'll always get everything right. We are not perfect, and the church isn't perfect either. We will struggle, we will experience conflict, we'll get some things totally right, and we'll get some things very wrong. But the need to change and be changed is what being in a relationship with God is all about. We are being formed into who God is calling us to be. And Jesus, in his compassion and love, is walking with us each step of the way. And as Jesus is in relationship with us, we are here to be in relationship with each other, no matter what. Our divisions may make us who we are, but our grounding in Jesus Christ defines whose we are. And when, in our journey through this life, we get to those times when our relationship with Christ, with the church, and with our faith is like looking at a black screen with that one word question, continue, flashing before us. Know that Jesus has already inserted that coin. He's already hit that start button. And our relationship with God continues, no matter what. Amen.